Come and just minister as the Lord has laid on your heart.
Well, it's good to be saved.
Amen.
That's why we're here this morning. Should be, anyway. There's just so much that is included in that thought that it's good to be saved. Acts chapter 20. We're going to go to the streets today. We're going to go where the people are today. We're going to go where we need to go. If we can't do it on a daily basis, which we do anyway, because unless you're sick and you're at home and you can't go anywhere. Now, there are exceptions to the rule. You know, some folks just can't get out, right? But in Sunday school, the Sunday school time, I'm going to bring this biblical thought. Scriptural thought of public ministry. And Acts chapter 20 is a good place to be because it gives us an example here, one of the greatest examples here in Acts chapter 20. And but before we do that, let me just remind you who I am. I'm a sinner saved by grace, 1986, August 15th. An older gentleman, retired police officer from Detroit, Michigan, moved down to Huntsville, Alabama, and I crossed his path. And he was a soul winner, so he got a hold of me and sat me down and showed me some things from the Bible I'd never heard in my entire life. I was raised Roman Catholic. And I asked Jesus to save me that day. Then 2 years later, I got into church and never been the same since. But thank God that over the period of time, about 10 years, the Lord dealt with my heart about being a missionary because of the flea market ministry, going in there and setting up a booth, dealing with those lost folks there of northern Alabama. Then these Latinos coming in and giving them tracts, and so I started dealing with them. Then the Lord dealt with my heart about going to mission field. So in 1999, I surrendered, and we've been there for 15 years. I don't know how to explain it, but I have this desire to just die there. You know, just to serve until I die there, if the Lord will let me. And Tapalpa had that desire. That's where we started out, but it was a real difficult area to actually establish a church. And so it's not totally 100% out of my mind, but it's on hold as we expanded our ministry to a bigger city. Tapalpa, about 15,000, going to a city of 7 million. So, and we'll take a trip real quick right now if we can, if whoever's operating that, just to see what that entails. So just keep your eyes open and you'll see what we're going to do.
For a pastor to be able to recommend a 15-year veteran missionary family out of his own church. But such is the case for the Michael Meyer family. Brother Meyer has been a faithful member for the last 19 years at the Sweet Springs Baptist Church in Ardmore, Alabama. 15 years of that 19, he and his family have lived in Mexico, seeking to spread the gospel to the multitudes in that country. Now he's broadening his vision into the second largest city in all of Mexico, Guadalajara. And because of the greatness of this task, it has been a necessity for him to raise the adequate funds to be able to support this good work. Our church is fully behind this family, and my prayer is that you will consider them and adding them to your missionary family to reach the countless souls in Guadalajara that need Jesus.
Hello, my name is Michael Meyer, and my family has been living in Mexico since 2002. For 15 years, we have been serving in a rural area. The Lord has now led us to go to one of the top largest cities in Mexico, Guadalajara. A desire to take the gospel to approximately 7 million people. My wife, Carol, and my children, Abigail, Lydia, and Timothy, have a desire to serve the Lord by reaching more people in the city of Guadalajara. Because of our desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and expanding our ministry to the approximately 7 million people in Guadalajara, we have seen the need of raising our financial support and able to have the funds to be able to do the ministry. Our desire is to reach the markets, the many markets of Guadalajara, through tract distribution, open-air preaching, witnessing one-on-one with the people there, and for those that get saved, to take part in their discipleship and train nationals in the work of evangelism in the churches that are in the Guadalajara area that we'll be working with. We thank you very much for your faithful support all these years in prayer and in finances, and ask you that you continue to support us as we look to win souls for Christ and help them to get established in a local church there in our area of Mexico. Our desire is to get back to Mexico and reach those souls. Please pray for the many, many souls that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in Guadalajara.
Okay, so we've got our work cut out for us. And so do you, yes. right here in your area of where God would have you to serve and to seek souls for Jesus and to help them to grow. Because that's what a local church is for. And the purpose of a local church is to exalt the Savior. That's why we come, it's for Him. And if we come here for ourselves, it's to better ourselves so we can, you know, exalt Him. And so that's what we should do in a service, eh? And all the services that you have when the doors are open. Amen. And of course, through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, exalt the Savior and then edify the saint. That's where we grow, so that we can go out of here and evangelize the world. That's the purpose of a local church. And I would love for the Lord to have me start a church in Guadalajara, or maybe more than that. And through this ministry, I believe we have a good chance, because you have to get them saved first and then get into their houses and be able to disciple them, to have them understand that, hey, now you're part of a body of Christ, and we lead locally, visibly, so let's do that. And there's churches already established there, so we'll be able to point some of those folks to those churches. But if they don't have one nearby and they can't, then we'll start having Bible studies and see what the Lord does. But got to get out there on a constant basis and be with the people publicly. And of course, you all know what the market ministry is like. As far as here in the States, it's like a flea market. You just take it and put it on the street. And in Guadalajara, they've got tons of them every day. Last year, we moved to Guadalajara, and during that time, I found 18 of those markets. But that's nothing compared to what's there. And so you'll find several markets every day, 7 days a week. So you pray for us as we try to get that done. And here we have our plan right here in Acts chapter 20. Let's see what Paul did. He's the second greatest missionary that there ever was. You know who the first one is, don't you?
Yes.
The Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he came, he left his country, came to a foreign land, and paid the price of for the gospel. And now we're just to carry that message on. I mean, it's for all of us, and it's for 2018 and on. And so here's a great example here. When Paul decides to address the elders at Ephesus and remind them of what he had done so that they would continue to do that. And that's probably going to be the last time he would see their face. And he knew what was coming, but it didn't matter, because he knew what he had done and what he's going to do, and they needed to do the same and have the same fortitude. And if we have the same Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we can do it, because we have that same power within us today. We just need to lean on Jesus and help Him to teach us and guide us and remind us and encourage us about what's important in our lives. And so Acts chapter 20, let's begin in verse 16. It says, "For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." So he was there in the beginning and visited them, and now he's coming and reminding them of all that he did, the times that he spent with them. And this doesn't just apply at Ephesus, it applies of everywhere he went, established churches. Verse 19, saying, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will befall me there, or shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." Verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Let's pray. Father, please help us this morning to understand the example that we have here that is good for 2018, that we need to find our place in this, Lord, going out there and publicly addressing people about their need for a Savior. And thank you for the testimony that we got when we trusted you as our Savior. If there's anyone here that's not saved today for any reason to the services we have here, that you'll be able to speak to their heart, Lord, by your word and what is preached and taught. But help us, Lord, to get reminded and also encouraged, Lord, to do something. Because those folks that don't know you, they're going to spend eternity in hell. And if we're that person you want to testify to them or start or just sow the seed, help us to be faithful to do it, Lord. And prepare the hearts of the folks in Mexico, the folks that I've already spoken to in Guadalajara, the folks in Tapalpa that we've ministered for years, that your word will not return void, that there'll still be opportunity of seeing some fruit, Lord, in those lives, whether we'll have a part in that or somebody else will come along and reap from it, Lord. We ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' precious name, amen. 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 So here I would like to address public ministry in verse 20 of chapter 20 is your 2020 vision of the gospel. You want a good sight of what that's all about, what the gospel is? Gospel just didn't come to you and save you. It continues to save people that are lost. And then everything that is associated with the gospel, giving us new life, a new purpose to live down here, to prepare for a good eternity, it's all included in that. What Jesus did on the cross when he died for our sins, and was buried, and on the third day he rose again. Can somebody tell me where that is in the Bible, the definition, the where the gospel is actually given? Does anybody know? Okay, I will no longer ask any more questions. Acts chapter 20. We'll First Corinthians chapter 15. We will just go there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, because the first thing I see here. What's that?
I think they're just shy.
That's all right. That's all right. 1 Corinthians 15 is the chapter on the resurrection. And, of course, it starts out with what made it possible, or what makes it possible. The hope that we have of being raised from the dead if we should die in Christ, or never see death if the Lord should come in our time. And I'm hoping for the latter. In the first four verses, you'll have the definition. You'll have exactly what the gospel is. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12, and then it goes on and tells you about those that were witnesses of it. So it's not just an event that somebody made up. there are witnesses of this event. And it is the essential part of the message that we are to bring to the world. Of course, we need to receive it first. So obviously, if you're going to go out and witness, you need to be saved yourself. And I'm glad the Lord saved me and then showed me through other folks how to do it. But here, the first thing in Acts chapter 20, if we'll go back there, you'll notice the first thing about this public ministry is to preach the gospel, to get the message out. And if you'll look in verse 21 of chapter 20, he said this. They kept back nothing, and he went from public house to house. He says in verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 24, notice where it says here in the end about the joy in the ministry. He said, which I have received of the Lord Jesus to what? Testify the gospel of the grace of God. And because Jesus died on the cross, and he shed his blood for our sins, the message that go into all the world is to preach that gospel so that people would recognize who they are, that they are sinners before a just and holy God, and that the only way they can have their sins forgiven and be forgiven and everything taken care of so that they can have a home in heaven and a better life down here is to yield to Jesus. So you have to recognize that you're a sinner first. The person has to be brought to a point that they're lost. You know, I'm a good person. I think I'm okay. There's a perverted gospel out there in so many ways because of the so many denominations that are out there. Even if we just stay with the Christian, so-called Christian churches under Christianity that preach works salvation, because really there's only two ways, folks. There's either you do it or it's done. Either you have something to do with it or somebody did it for you and just gave it to you as a gift. Amen. And so this gospel that hopefully you have received and you're saved, and how long ago it was, is that you have this assurance of salvation, your assurance that everything is all right with God because you saw from the scripture and you continue to see from the scripture to build up your faith, understanding this great salvation. And we shouldn't neglect this great salvation that he's given us. This man, Christ Jesus, came into the world, God manifest in the flesh, to die for our sins because we can't do it. We can't do anything that is pleasing to God to be able to wipe away all our sins. I could go on and on and on and on about, and you could preach message after message. You got a Bible here full of illustrations and types and all that in the Old Testament, New Testament, to help us to get that message across, whether it's in a church setting or one-on-one with somebody at the doorstep or in public. As a matter of fact, you can write it in a small little tract or booklet form and put it in somebody's hands if they don't have time to talk with you. It's amazing how you can preach the gospel. But you have to get it out to the people. So the first thing is we have to understand the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What saved us, now we got to go out and tell everybody else. And you find that in the Great Commission all over. Let's look at Acts chapter 20. So that's the first thing that we understand about this public ministry is you have a message to take publicly. And ministry is basically ministering something. And of course, when it says the gospel, the grace of God, I'm reminded of a verse in 1 Peter chapter 4 that says we are to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability that God giveth. And so with that in mind, that's the message we're taking out. And the more Bible you know and the more experience you have and the things that you go through, you stay on top with the Lord, stay faithful, you can be effective. And our job is to sow the seed. Okay? And if we can reap, that's awesome. We live in a day and time where reaping is sparsely, a little, and that's not necessarily our fault. If it is, let's take care of that part. But the folks, what they need is they need a really good dose of the gospel, and sometimes more than once. And down in Mexico, they definitely have no idea and understanding of what we're talking about because it's foreign to them. You think I'm foreign to them just by the color of my skin and the way my speech is, trying to speak their language. The message that I bring to them is different. Because they're so used to thinking, no, you have to be a good person. And then even if you're not a good person, maybe God will have mercy on you and let you into heaven when we don't deserve to go into heaven, so we need somebody to save us instead of trying to save ourselves. So we got to preach the gospel, folks. Got to get them lost and give them the gospel, show them how to be saved. But number two, we need to go to a place and a people. Public ministry, you got to take the gospel to a place and to a people. So look at Acts chapter 1 first. Look at a couple of scriptures here and see what the Lord has this morning to kind of remind us of this. And as you listen and hear what I'm talking about, just to, you know, examine your own heart. Am I doing this? Let's not just put a block, a wall up in front of it and say, well, that was for Paul. That's for the preacher. That's for the pastor to do. That's not my job. No, this is for all of us. Because those preachers and pastors there in Ephesus, they're to teach that to their people. And so that their people would go out into their homes and witness to their families and witness to their co-workers and their fellow students in their schools. You know what I'm saying? All right, so Acts chapter 1, the fifth mention of the Great Commission is here in verse 8. What does he say? But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So that covers it. That covers your local area where you are. And it covers your county, your state, and it covers the world. And I'll mention this, that you may not be able to go up to Canada. You may not go down to Mexico or some foreign nation, but you can help send somebody. Okay. And, you know, that's another message. In order for the message to get publicly in those countries, somebody has to go. You know, the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of the grace of God, of peace, the gospel of peace, of grace. And so they can go in your stead, and you still have a part in that. That's called worldwide missions. And I'm definitely a part of that. So I appreciate all that you've done in the past and just letting it come through and take care of us. And then the prayers that you do for us as we've been sending prayer letters, and you see our prayers, see what we're up to, and you pray for us. That helps, and that's good. But I want you to know that my intention is to go to the people. And I've prayed it before in Tapalpa, you know, sitting in my house, you know, and saying, Lord, I know I'm going to go out today, but if you could send somebody by and ring the doorbell and say, hey, I want to hear about Jesus, that would be great. But it didn't happen. Now, you can pray that, but you still need to go and get your feet to the pavement and get out to where the people are. So this passage of Scripture talks about the whole world. And let's get specific. Mark chapter 16. Turn to Mark chapter 16. Go to the whole world. Who's in the world? Who is supposed to reach in the world? I know all this stuff is obviously when you think about it, but sometimes we tend to forget it. And I think if there's a stress on all this, there's a reason why we should preach the gospel. And we understand that it's because people are lost and they haven't heard it until someone tells them. So we have to go to them. So in Mark chapter 16, and for sake of time, let's look at verse 15. It says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to who? Every creature. Doesn't matter who they are. There is no place for racism in our thinking, in our way of living, and in our desire to reach people. Okay? We can't be respecter of persons. We give it out to them, whether they accept it or not, whether we suffer for telling them or not, it doesn't matter. We just have to find lost souls and take advantage of that. So we got to go to them. Acts chapter 16. We're going to go to Acts chapter 16. I want to show you an example of this. Two examples, actually. In Acts chapter 16, here Paul is traveling around now. And if you'll look with me on the first part of the passage, you'll see he's going everywhere and he's witnessing and things are happening and he gets this vision, you know, from somebody said, come over to Macedonia. Now in that vision, I'm not sure if the Lord showed him what was going to happen to him when he goes over there, because when he goes over there, he not only preaches the gospel and folks get saved, but he has opposition too, and he gets thrown in jail and beaten and other things like that too. Now I wonder if the Lord said, you know, go over to this community over here, but this is going to happen to you if we would go. Yeah? But we live in a time now where that kind of persecution, it doesn't really happen, does it? I mean, when's the last someone slapped you in the face for giving the gospel or hurt you physically here? But you have to understand, in some countries, that happens. There are Christians that are in jail in some of these nations where they can't necessarily go out publicly and do this, but they go from house to house. So when it says there in that verse, publicly and house to house, that's where we need to go. We need to find them and tell them about Jesus. So look at this example right here, verse 13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So they got a chance to witness to somebody when they went out there just to pray. And when, in verse 15, she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So she heard the gospel, got saved, and got baptized. Amen. Yeah. There's a convert right there to maybe strike them and start a church there. You know, probably need a few more converts to get the thing going, you know. Amen. But they were there, and they were publicly, and that's how they met this woman and witnessed to her, and she got saved. But notice here in verse 15 that she had this desire for them to come to her house. Amen? So I'm thinking here, if I go out publicly and witness those people and somebody gets saved, that just might be an open door to their house, to where other folks will get saved. And maybe even a Bible study to start in that house, you know, for a period of time until it gets too big, and then we go rent. We all get together, put some money in, and rent a storefront, and then go from there. That's what Paul was doing. That's his ministry. He was just go somewhere, lead people to Christ, and have Bible studies with them in their house, and see other people saved. You know, it didn't always happen, but. Of course, he was benefiting. He had a lot of people saved. Peter had a lot of people saved. I know today it's a little bit different, but nevertheless, we're in the end times, but we are still to do that, and God still saves people. And if people want to, they can be discipled, and then grow in the Lord, and then go out and save people. So we can still reproduce ourselves, if you know what I mean when I say that, okay? Now, let's look at another one, here in the same chapter. And he paid a price, and if we read through this passage, he did something that caused some folks to get upset, and so they ended up getting beaten and put in prison. If we read on here, let's pick up here verse 21. This is what they said. Hey, this guy is causing problems right here. They teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither deserve being Romans. And the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. And having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Okay, not just that, but I'm sure he witnessed a few of those guys in there. All he had to do is lift up his voice, and it doesn't matter where they were in the prison, they could hear the gospel. I mean, what are they going to do? He's already in prison. He's already locked up. They go in there and, you know, tell him to shut up and, you know, beat him. But they didn't. They didn't. The jailer didn't do that, and he heard too. He heard those songs and he heard all that was going on. So look what happens. Verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed, and the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled, because they told him, keep them safe. And if a jailer failed in that area, they would be executed. So he may as well just take his own life. But Paul cried out in verse 28 with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And then he called for light, sprang in, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas. I'm waiting for that to happen in Tapalpa. Maybe it happened in the street. I don't know. Just somebody says, what must I do to be saved? Or, hey, after showing you all this, are you willing to ask Jesus to save you? Yeah, yeah, I need that. Okay. You pray. And then and see what happens from there. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. They got into his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and he baptized he and all of his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, rejoiced, believing in God and all his house. So when he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thine house, doesn't mean necessarily everybody's going to believe, but there's a good chance of it. That if Papa gets saved, then maybe Mama will get saved, maybe some of the kids will get saved. It's difficult today. It really is, because of all the garbage that's out there and the strength of the devil and all the media to get everybody on the same boat. But you just have to pray. I've got lost brothers and sisters who I'm not sure about their salvation. Some of them have professed faith. Others say, no, we don't want nothing to do with it. And I still pray for them, you know, that hopefully the Lord sends somebody to be able to minister to them. So, Lord, while I minister to people in Mexico, wherever I go, can you send somebody to my family and just be patient and wait? And maybe he has and they've been rejected. Maybe that's just their fate. But I'm going to tell you what, we don't have that decision. If we can't get through someone, let's pray for them, but let's sow the seed as much as we can. I gave my brother Steve, who I've been witnessing to for years, a book called Done. It's a great book to give out to visitors at your church. And it's in Spanish, too, so I've given plenty of those out in Mexico. And I gave it to him once, and he didn't read it. So I gave him another one, and he still hadn't read it. So I might have given him a third time, but I'm going to give it to him a fourth time. But this time I'm going to say, let's sit down and read it together. And if he says no, then I'm going to say, are you going to read this? And he's going to say, probably not, Michael. Then I'm going to say, why not? And then just try to tell him what the book says. Why are people so afraid of it? Why are they so bogged down? What are they afraid of? Well, we know what it is. Sin has such a bind on them, the darkness in their lives, that they're afraid of the gospel. But we need to show them that, no, you need to be afraid of not receiving the gospel. You need to be afraid of what you're headed towards. And we need to be bold, have wisdom from God to give it to them. But we have to go to their face. We have to go to them publicly and get to their houses. If they let you in the house, then that's a good open door right there. So that's what we're hoping to do down in Mexico on a larger scale and on a constant basis, you know. In Tapalpa, we go to a door, nobody be there. But I'm going to tell you right now, there'll be somebody there, you know. And maybe they'll just put up with me and listen. Let them ask questions, you know, if they got any doubts. It's just amazing how many people I talk to. And I talk to a lot of young people. And a lot of those young people, they have this profession of being an atheist. Of course, I always talk them out of that, and they end up being an agnostic. That just means they don't know. But even after witnessing them for a little bit and showing the Bible briefly and bringing them to Christ, that they need to ask him a Savior, they're not ready to do that because it's just something new. You know, they never heard that before. So it's a lot of work, but it needs to be done, this public ministry. So you find your niche and you find what you can do with the church here or on your own when you're out there and publicly to give someone a track and maybe a strike up of conversation with somebody. But this is not just for the missionary and the pastor and the very few that go on visitation, if there is, you know. It needs to be for all of us. Amen. Till the day you die, the Lord calls us home. Amen. That's what I got here for you this morning. And public ministry is just basically knowing what the gospel is. And if you've been saved, you should know what it is. And if you don't understand it totally, you don't have this confidence to go out and tell someone else, you can get it by being discipled in this church. Because through the discipleship and the preaching of the Word of God and your personal devotion, and there's lots of materials out there to show you how and what to say. Even when you come across somebody that believes a different faith, you don't necessarily have to mess with that. You just bring them right back to the gospel, bring them back to there, you know. You say, I'm not going to witness them because they're going to ask me these questions and I won't be able to answer them. No, don't worry about that. You just bring back to the subject at hand that they're a sinner and they can't be saved by their works and that they need to ask Jesus to save them. They need to do what it says in Acts chapter 20, verse 20, as we close. Because this is the result, this is the purpose. The result is that folks get saved and churches established. But in order for that to happen, verse 21, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And you're that tool that's going to get that job done. Amen? All right, that's all for this morning.